As we get started with our study this morning, I'm open to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We'll start at verse 13 in just a moment. So good to see everyone. What a blessing it is for us to be assembled together to worship God in spirit and in truth. David, I appreciate the songs you've chosen and led us in a way that we've joined our hearts and our voices together. And the singing has been uplifting, well-worded prayers, not just our opening prayer, but at the table as well. Great comments there at the table, good scripture reading as well. That reading was about our inheritance in heaven, and that's what I want to talk about for a few moments here this morning. Let's talk about why we should long for heaven. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 through 16. All these, that is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all these died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they'd come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. Our fathers of faith, those who served God long before we ever did, looked for something better than what this world has to offer. They served God with a hope and a desire for a better home. And the Hebrew writer says that's what kept them from turning back. They would have had opportunity to go back to where they had come from if they'd wanted to. But no, they kept looking ahead. They stayed on track. They kept their hope. They kept their desire. They kept the object of their faith before them, wanting something better. I wonder, do you and I have that same desire? Do we have that same hope? Do we have that same faith that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had? I like going on trips from time to time. Now, sometimes I get tired of traveling, but it seems like every year about this time of the year, with the summer coming on, I get a little anxious and I'm ready to go somewhere. And that happens to a lot of us. Used to be you would go to a travel agent and you'd get brochures. Now, you just log on. And you can look at different destinations, you can look at pictures, you can read descriptions, you can watch YouTube videos of people who are on vacation in that place. And they can tell you in their own words what it is like. And we get excited about a trip, we're looking forward to it, we pack, we're making all those arrangements, and we know that we're looking forward, we're desiring to be there. Well, there's a trip that all of us are going to take someday. And it's not talked about near as often as it needs to be. So this morning, for a few moments, let's open up the Bible and let's see why it is that you and I should long for heaven. Number one, I want to go to heaven because I know that it is my home. It's where I belong. It's where I want to be. You know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they were strangers and they were pilgrims where they were. That land one day would become their descendants' homeland, but it wasn't their homeland. They lived as sojourners. They looked for what God was promising them, and they saw it afar off, and that is what they wanted. Well, you and I, we have that same hope of heaven. Let's look at a handful of scriptures, starting in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, one of the blessings that we have as children of God, and there are so, so many blessings. One of the blessings that we have is that as a child of God, we are heirs of God. We stand to inherit something from our Father. Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. So we are heirs. We stand to inherit something. What is it exactly that we stand to inherit? Well, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. This was our scripture reading earlier this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance. So here we are. We're heirs. We have an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. That's where our inheritance is. It's not here on earth. It's not anywhere in this earth. It's not any part of this earth. We are strangers and pilgrims here because our inheritance awaits us in heaven. In John chapter 14, we read this passage this morning in our 9:30 hour. I said we would look at it again. Well, let's revisit it now. John chapter 14, Jesus in the upper room with His apostles. He says, let not your heart be troubled. John 14, verses 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may also be. In heaven, there is a place prepared for Me. And I want to be there. If you're a child of God, in heaven there is a place prepared for you. And you should long for that. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, we read that our citizenship is in heaven. Our citizenship is not here, at least not first and foremost. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm thankful to be living in the time and place that God has allowed me to live. And I happen to think the United States of America is the best nation this world will ever see and ever know. And I'm thankful to be a citizen of it. But my citizenship is in heaven, first and foremost. That's where I belong. I want to go to heaven because heaven is my home. Christians, if we're serving Christ and we're living with that hope that we should have, we're out of place in this world. You know, that's one of the problems that we see with the church today is it's made up of too many members who are too much at home in this world. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we need to act like it, and we need to live with that hope and that anticipation. This world is not our home. We are just a passing through. And we are to make the most of our time here. We are to let our light shine before others. And we need to be taking as many people with us as we can. But we're not to conform to this world. Heaven is our home. One of the great things about this or any other local congregation is we all come from different backgrounds. We all come from different places. And I like knowing where I was born. And where I grew up, which actually are two different places. But it's part of what made me who I am. And I've got a little bit of pride in that. And you probably do as well. In your roots. I want to tell you as a Christian, where we are going is so much more important than where we've come from. We are going to heaven. I want to go to heaven because heaven is my home. Secondly, I want to go to heaven because of who is there. You know, sometimes knowing who's going to be at a place will make all the difference in the world whether or not we want to be there. You want to go to such and such? Well, no, not really. Well, you know so-and-so is going to be there. Oh, okay. And that may change our mind. Would it change your mind about heaven? In heaven, we are going to be with God. Heaven is God's throne. The book of Psalm 11 and at verse 4 tells us. Heaven is where God's throne is. Heaven is God's throne room. Jesus taught us to pray to our Father in heaven. It is in heaven that we will see Him face to face. This Wednesday night, as we're studying through Exodus, we're going to see that Moses makes a request to see the Lord's glory, and God's going to tell him, no, you can't do that. No one can see my face and live, but in heaven we will see our Creator's face. Also in heaven, we will be with our Lord, Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 16, verse 19 says that He ascended into heaven and He sat down at the right hand of God. He returned to where He had come from. And He'll come back and He will receive us. And there, as we read in John chapter 14, where I am, there you shall also be. Imagine, as we studied this morning, Thomas wanting to see the print of the nails in the hand and the gash of the scar in the side of the Lord. Blessed are those who do not see and yet have believed, and that's you and that's me, but one day we will see. We will see our Lord, and we'll be with Him forever in heaven. In heaven, all those in Hebrews chapter 11 are going to be there. The great heroes of faith. Those individuals that we read about in the Old and New Testament, that we admire, that we look up to, like we did Thomas in our first hour this morning. They're going to be there. And you know, we think from time to time, well, who are you going to want to go talk to first? I don't know. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but just knowing that they're going to be there. But turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Every time a brother or sister in Christ leaves this world, and there have been a number of them the last few weeks. One of the great things about social media is you stay informed. And one of the sad things about social media is you stay informed. And there have been a lot of our brethren who have passed in the last couple of weeks. But every time I see that, one thought that comes to my mind is heaven just got that much more attractive to me, because we'll get to see them again. We'll get to be with them again. Paul was writing to these Thessalonians who had the idea that the Lord was going to return at any time now, and they were anticipating that. They were looking forward to that with hope, just like we do, but they had lost some of their brethren, and they were concerned, were they going to miss out on the glory of the Lord's return? And Paul writes and lets them know, no, they're not going to miss anything. Don't worry about them. For this we say to you, this is chapter 4, verse 15, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. We're parted in this life, but we have the hope and the knowledge that we will be together with them again. I want to go to heaven because of who is there. I can't wait. Third, I want to go to heaven because of the way that it is described. Now, we don't have brochures and pamphlets, and we don't fall for the teachings of the false teachers who talk about the fact that they've gotten glimpses of heaven, or they've gone and they've seen what heaven is like and they've come back to report that back to us. That's foolishness, and we know that. The Bible, though, gives us a beautiful glimpse of heaven. Let's turn to the last two chapters in our Bible, Revelation chapters 21 and 22. Revelation 21 and 22. And we're going to read several of these verses. We make no apologies for lengthy scripture readings. As we often say, as long as we're reading the Bible, you know that's right. So let's read through these verses. And I remind you, we're in the book of Revelation, which is very different than any other book in the New Testament and most of the books of the Bible. Revelation is apocalyptic literature, that is, it's visual. Instead of relating the will and the mind of God to us in words, the message is revealed to us in images and visions. And so let's read through this text, and you allow the scripture to paint the picture in your mind. And you see what John saw. And let's look at this together. Revelation chapter 21 and at verse 9. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride and the Lamb's wife." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. She also had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Three gates on the east, three gates on the north, three gates on the south, and three gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. And he measured its wall, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. And the construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. And I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There should be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." Again, this is a spiritual reality that we're reading of. But God is conveying it to His people here in the only way that we can comprehend. That is, using physical things to convey spiritual realities. Look, this is a city of pure gold. The foundation is adorned with precious stones, not imitations, the real thing. Well, I want you to think about that for just a moment. Here is a place that is so spectacular that the metals and the gemstones that are so valuable and precious to us, you walk on it there. That's the asphalt in heaven. Those are the paving stones. And the stones that they chip away and give you a little bitty piece of to put on a ring or to put on jewelry, those are the construction blocks of the building. That's how spectacular this city is. There is no sun. There is no moon. There are no street lights in heaven because God is there. That image of Jesus that Peter, James, and John saw up on the Mount of Transfiguration, that's the source of light in heaven. And the tree of life shows up. It disappears in Genesis chapter 3 because of sin. But here it is reappearing at the end of the Bible. And one of the ways to look at the Bible, to summarize the message of the Bible, is the tree of life, lost and regained. It's how God gives us access to the tree of life once again. It's there in heaven. There is no sin in heaven. There's nothing about it that makes it unattractive to us. It is a place of complete holiness and righteousness. I could pause here and I could make comments about places that Christy and I have gone on vacation numerous times, and we notice as time goes on changes that are made to that place. And sometimes the changes are not good. And it doesn't just happen in Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge. It happens in other places. But I'll mention that specifically. There was a time you could go there, and it wasn't every other building was a moonshine distillery and a dispensary. But that's there now. But it's not just there. Those things are everywhere. I'm not picking on your favorite vacation place. Don't get me wrong. It doesn't matter where we go, we're going to find traces of sin, but not in heaven. Not in heaven. Nothing defiling is there in that place. It is a place of an eternal day, forever and ever. One has said, if we miss heaven, we have missed it all. I want to go to heaven because I've got to see a place like this. I've got to see a place like this. Number four, I long for heaven because it is my rest. Turn back just a few pages in Revelation to chapter 14 and verse 13. Revelation 14 and at verse 13. "Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, 'Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them.'" Heaven is the place where God's people will find rest from their sufferings and toils and labors in this world of sin, from the trials and the persecution that we endure, to whatever measure we have to endure it to live a godly life, of the pains that we feel as our bodies age and wear down. Going back to Revelation 21 and at verse 4, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." That verse alone should be enough to convince you that you need to go to heaven. No more tears, no more death, no more sorrow, no separation, no heartaches, and no pain. Heaven is a place of perfect eternal rest because God will take care of us there like a father takes care of his children. In the centuries immediately following the establishment of the church, when God's people were being persecuted severely, historians tell us that there were martyrs who would willingly stand and burn at the stake. One of them was Polycarp. Polycarp, who was a disciple of the Apostle John. And he was arrested, told to renounce his faith. He refused to do so. And as they came to tie him to the stake to burn there for his faith, he told those who were in charge that it would be unnecessary for them to tie his 88-year-old body to that stake. He would stand there and he would willingly burn and die. Why? Because the Lord had never let him down. He wasn't about to let the Lord down. And there was no way he was going to fail to enter into his rest. Now, talking about rest and entering into rest, that may not be so appealing to those here who are younger because you've got energy, all kinds of energy. Those of us who are older will look at you and look at your energy and say, you know, if we had energy like that, we'd hurt ourselves bad. And then that's true. That is just one of the things that changes as you age. But take this fact about heaven. Take this, young people, take this fact about heaven and just hang on to it and remember it. Because one day it will come to the forefront of your heart. And you will find great hope in knowing that there is a place of rest. I want to go to heaven because that's where we are going to rest. And I want to go to heaven finally because I'm invited there. Revelation 22 and at verse 17. You're not quite at the end of the Bible. This is the fifth to the last verse. But it's pretty close. Pretty close to the end of the Bible, there is an invitation that goes out from heaven. Remember, John has seen a vision of heaven, and here's something that he hears. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. I don't know about you, but that appeals to me. That appeals to me because there are some places in this life and in this world that I'm not welcomed. I'm not allowed to go into. I've not received an invitation. I would love to visit and go through the White House. And I don't mean pay the tour and go through that little part that they've got roped off. I mean I'd love to go through it and see everything in there. I'd love to go to the Oval Office. I've been to models. I've been to reproductions. I have yet to receive an invitation from a sitting president saying, Heath, won't you come on? Won't you come visit me in my office? You better believe I'd go. But I'm not holding my breath. Even to get to meet a celebrity, to pay the extra money to go backstage to a meet and greet, you're still seeing a performance. You're not really seeing them in their downtime. See, there are a lot of doors that are closed to you and me in this world. Heaven is open to all of us. One of the last verses of the Bible invites you and me to go to heaven. Heaven, it has been said, that heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. So I ask, are you prepared? Are you prepared to go to heaven? You know, you don't just wake up the next morning and you're off somewhere on a trip. You got to plan for it. You got to prepare for it. Are you prepared for heaven? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? That He died on the cross for your sins. He rose from the dead for your justification. Do you believe that? Will you repent of your sins? Turn away from that path that's taken you away from heaven and turn and start living toward heaven. Will you confess with your mouth that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Will you be baptized, buried with Christ, to have your sins washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ? Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Are you living faithful to the Lord? Are you serving Him faithfully, knowing that that trumpet call could come at any time? And if we're not prepared, heaven will not be our home. Are you living faithful to Him? I long for heaven. I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven because it's my home. I want to go to heaven because of who is there, and I hope that's you. I want to go to heaven because of the way it is described. There's no way I'm going to miss that. I want to go to heaven because it is a rest that is promised to me, and I want to go to heaven because I'm wanted there. I'm wanted there, and so are you. If you need to respond to the invitation, we're going to offer it at this time. If you need to become a Christian, you have the opportunity to do so and get started on that path to heaven. If you need to make correction in your life as a Christian, you have opportunity to do so. Whatever your spiritual need is, let it be made known by coming forward as we stand and sing this invitation song.